Hello, Swamp Fox. This is Colonel Trip Bowes welcoming you to the October edition of our Fox Chatter podcast. Today, we'll have a couple of guests join us. We will hear from Colonel Hyde Rembarger, who will provide some more detail on what to expect for the upcoming inspection. And we'll hear from Master Sergeant Jory Middleton, who will share some details on the third go. Let's start by looking at where we are. We just finished up the 2024 fiscal year. The flying operations closed out the annual flying hour program of just over 4,000 flight hours, while our finance personnel accounted for more than $100 million in expenditures. It was a monumental task, and they did it while we recovered from Hurricane Helene. The storm left many without power for several days and others with damage to their property. We detailed public affairs, civil engineering, security forces, services, and air traffic control to support the recovery efforts in the upstate and western North Carolina. We also provided personnel to man the Emergency Operations Center here in Columbia and provide command and control services. Fortunately, our base didn't receive too much damage outside of a few fallen trees and losing power for several hours. But thank you to all that responded last Friday to get everything back up and running. Hurricane Milton is currently expected to reach Central Florida later this week as a potential Category 4 or 5 storm. We do not expect any impacts to us locally, but the South Carolina National Guard will likely be called upon to assist Florida with their cleanup efforts, just as they did for us last week. Now let's shift to what we have ahead of us. October drill will be a non-standard super drill, beginning Tuesday the 15th and wrapping up on Friday the 18th. This is our combat readiness inspection and foundational readiness inspection, which will be observed and graded by an inspection team from Air Combat Command. Following the short weekend, the aviation package will be departing for Checkered Flag and Weapon System Evaluation Program training in Florida. Checkered Flag is a large force employment exercise designed to replicate a high-end fight against a peer adversary, focusing on interoperability of fourth and fifth generation aircraft. WESIP is a formal evaluation of our ability to employ full-scale, live, air-to-air, and air-to-ground weapons. This will test our pilots' capability to plan and execute weapons employment within specific parameters, but also test our maintenance personnel and practices. Weapons and ammo personnel will be challenged to build, deliver, load, and test the weapons to ensure they function correctly. These exercises will occur over the Halloween holiday, and we have decided not to host a trunk-or-treat event on base this year. With the hustle of completing an inspection and sending the aviation package out the door, we'll be unable to adequately put on the event to a level that will meet our Swamp Fox standard. We will save that effort for Winterfest, which will occur on Saturday, the 7th of December. It's a busy time, and everyone has been hustling preparing for this inspection. Thank you. We're almost there. We just need to keep the laser sharp focus going for a few more weeks. I've invited your 169th Fighter Wing Deputy Commander, Colonel Hyde Rembarger, to talk with us about what we can expect during this exercise. Hyde, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Trip.
As we get started, I'll go over the commander's intent first, which for this exercise is to conduct a wing-wide multi-day readiness force generation exercise, which pushes the limits of our capability to identify gaps and seams in our combat mission readiness. So what that really means is we've generated a problem that you are going to have to solve as airmen, and you are going to fail. We are designing this to reach the failure point so that as commanders, we can determine where that failure point is and ensure that we are adequately reporting that to our superiors up at Air National Guard Readiness Center and at Air Combat Command. And that information helps drive priorities for them and resourcing. So if they see that we don't have the resources necessary to provide the level of readiness that they desire, they'll use this test report or this evaluation report to provide us more resources and give us what we need to help get us there. As we go into this, our priorities are to demonstrate and validate our primary men-essential tasks and execute a maximum combat force generation at home station here at McIntyre while being contested by an enemy, and that is going to degrade the environment that we operate in. We're also exercising wing-wide operations to stress personnel, cargo, and aircraft deployment functions in accordance with our installation deployment plan. We will also be validating mission assurance by conducting integrated base defense against asymmetric and small unmanned aerial system adversary actions. So, Hyde, those are a lot of words. People are still probably confused because we're going into some new territory. So can you just kind of walk us through your concept of operations as the projo for this exercise?
Yeah, I would say step one is probably some key players, right? So we used to have if you remember back to the 2014 days, I think this was the last time that McIntyre did a full-scale exercise like this. And we used to use the terms phase one and phase two, where we had a phase one generation and a phase two kind of employment where we would put all our chem gear on. We're looking at the phase one of what we kind of looked at before, and we're going to generate airplanes and we're going to process people and we're going to see what that, and the scale of this, I think, is where you talked about where you're pushing people to failure. The scale is what's going to push us to failure. We're going to try to maximize every airplane out of this wing and almost every human as part of our mission generation force element and a lot of our operate the airbase. So think our XAB deployment that just happened, add that to our deployment that went to, you know, went downrange with our aviation package, and you combine that and you get a whole lot of people and a whole lot of airplanes. And we're going to try to do that in a very short period of time. I think is that scope and scale, I think, is what is going to get us to that failure point. If you were here in 2014, which I know a lot of you were, it's going to look a lot like that phase one. So we're not going to be running around in our chem gear, but there are going to be, like you talked about, the Bago has been, you know, he's our XP guy and he's the chief of the A staff, but we've basically made him the warlord for this exercise. And he is generating the problems for us. And he hasn't told me the problems. He hasn't told you the problems. We told him kind of some guidance on what that's going to look like and to kind of contest this operation. And he's going to use his smart brain as well as with the ACCIG team and try to test us. All right. So we used to do phase ones and we've never been contested, never messed with a network, never messed with your power. But I can tell you the power is probably going to go out in your building. The generators are going to come on. The network's probably not going to work most of the time. And that includes Nipper, that includes Sipper, that includes basically everything. So you're going to need to find, you know, we talk about the PACE plan, the primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency. And we haven't, that PACE plan lives on Sipper, and you can review that. But I would tell you that people are just going to have to fight through and figure out how to communicate with each other. And it could go the way we always done it and send emails and that, but it may resort to a text message. It may resort to you running a piece of paper across the wing to push the information that you need. And we're going to look at command and control at the high levels and all the way down to the youngest airman. And we're going to have to solve whatever problems have been presented to us.
Yeah. So you talked about some of the key players. You're the pro, Joe. So we pushed you on this as a pro, Joe, to kind of be in charge of how we're getting prepared for the exercise. And then also in the exercise, you know, you'll be a member of the crisis activation team.
Crisis action team. There's a lot of acronyms, right? So the used to be the emergency operations center. We're now calling that the wing operations center, more of a combat focus. So we don't really need the EOC and those directorates that would normally run an EOC. We're just going to put a team of people together that we think are going to solve these problems. So you're going to see the crisis action team, and that's basically your O6 leadership and your A staff leadership. So and a lot of us haven't dealt with a whole lot of like A staff functions, but A1 personnel, kind of their task is to do the accountability piece and know what parts and pieces need to be where for on the human side of things and make sure people know exactly where they need to be and are processed and the paperwork's there. A2 is your intelligence. They're going to look at the most likely course of action from the enemy and then look at the most dangerous and kind of figure out where we're going to be. And we talk about operational security as well a lot. That falls under the A2. They stood up a information warfare working group today and went through a lot of those parts and pieces of the exercise. A3 operations, right? How are we getting the pilots and the jets ready to launch these jets into combat? And then the A4 is where the lion's share of this work is done. And the A4 is kind of the director where you talk about the IDO. So Trey Murphy is the IDO, and this is his, basically, this is his baby. He's going to be running the show, and he's going to be probably the busiest man on base for the next 4 or 5 days as the IDO, as the installation deployment officer, running the personnel deployment function and then the cargo deployment function are the two kind of main lines of effort. And then you look at what else lives in A4, your maintenance, right? The maintenance side of this. So the about 80% of the people that are getting deployed are from the maintenance group. And then obviously they're the ones that are going to be getting all the airplanes ready for the pilots to fly them off at the end of this whole thing. So everything basically runs through the maintenance group there. And then if you look at the other parts of A4 is the civil engineering folks that are going to be doing the integrated, you know, base resiliency and the generators and all the stuff that's on base that here at McIntyre that's going to get contested. So a lot of this runs through the A4 shop. A5, you're talking about wing plans. So they've, you know, we're looking at the continuity of operations plan, the integrated defense plan. And then the big one that we're running is the installation deployment plan is kind of what drives us to how we get the people and the airplanes out of here. And then the A6 comm folks, again, we talked about the contested comms on base, and they're going to have to fight their way through that to get us the communication means that we need to execute this exercise.
All right, some other key players in this. We're going to have the ACC Inspector General team here, but they're largely just observing how we execute our own exercise. And that exercise was developed by Bego as the warlord in conjunction with our own IG team. But we also have wing inspection teams or WIT members. What's everyone's role in this?
Yep. So the ACC IG team is old school 2014. They would come down, if they did a big exercise, they would come down and present the problem to us, and then we would have 100% of our people to solve that problem. They no longer present that problem to us. They kind of give us some guidelines on, say, hey, do a combat readiness inspection, and it's up to us to decide what that looks like. And that team of Bago and the IG shop and then your wing inspection teams inside your organizations are the ones that are going to be putting on the exercise. And if they present a problem to you, then just solve the problem and fight your way through it. And then they'll let you know if they're done and that desired learning objective is met with that, whatever that inject was, or if they haven't, then just keep fighting your way through that problem. And then the ACC IG team is, we all know each other. So somebody that looks out of place, I don't know if they're going to be wearing any special uniforms, but you'll see ACC patches on them. They won't look like one of us. They won't be wearing Swamp Fox patches. So there's about 40 or so folks that are coming down here from the ACC IG team. Their base of operations will be in the comm squadron classroom. And then the LRS classroom is where they're going to be working out of. So I would recommend highly staying away from those two areas for the IG staff.
And a ton of planning has gone into this to make sure that we are testing specific metrics and getting after the things that we need to look at. So with that, the injects are going to come from your WIT team members. So it's already scripted out. And then this isn't the time for you to decide, I think we should test this extra thing, right?
Yep. So we have very specific men, you know, based on the vision that got written months ago about what this exercise was going to look at, the mission essential tasks that we wanted to test for this exercise. Those are detailed out. And then the WIT should be building problems that should allow us to hopefully test those things. And each squadron commander goes in and does the classified reporting on whether he thinks he can meet that min essential task, and we're just trying to prove to ourselves that what we're reporting and what we think we can do, we can actually do. And they're, and at the end of the day, hopefully we have a good picture of that at the end of the exercise.
And before, when someone else was presenting us with a problem, we were trying to knock it out of the park. We were trying to defeat their problem. But in this case, we're designing our own problem. So it's a different problem set. So we're actually trying to find the failure point. So that's a different mentality and a different look. People can't be afraid of failure because that's what we're looking for. We're looking to find the exact point where we're no longer able to complete that task.
Yeah, and there's things right now perfection is not the goal for this exercise. Failure is fine. So we're going to try to take ourselves there and see if what we're actually reporting is accurate. I don't think we're not going to be perfect at everything.
And going along with that, we also are carrying everything to completion. So we're not white carding or allowing for kind of made up excuses for why we can't do things. We're going to take everything to logical completion and execute as much of it as we can, as realistically as we can, to find out where those actual limitations are.
Yeah, you're right. Like, before, if you do like a phase two or like a downrange deployment exercise, you got to white card a lot and you got to make yourself think that you're at base X and there's chem attacks and all this other stuff. But we're at McIntyre. You get to use whatever is available to you at that time. So if you don't have it, then you can't just white card that you get to use it. You got to use what people you've got, what equipment you've got, and what systems you're able to communicate on. And if you don't have those things, don't say that, oh, I would, or I assume that I have it. Nope, you don't have it, and just keep fighting yourself through the problem.
Well, thanks to you and everyone else in the wing who has been working so hard to put all of this together. It is something new. It's different, but it's also needed. Like you said, we haven't done this in a while, and we have to get back into the swing of testing our capabilities and reporting that stuff accurately. All right, so since we haven't done this in a while, what are some of the admin things we should be thinking about?
Yeah, so this isn't going to look like your normal drill, right? We've done super drills before, but it's typically 8-hour day where you do roll call and you do training, and then you're usually done by 4:30. obviously this is an exercise and we've got a large task and we're not going to be able to fit all those tasks in and give us a valid test in, you know, 8 hour days. So the core hours are 0700 to 1900 Tuesday through Friday. I wouldn't expect it to go that long on a Friday. The ACC team is probably going to be want to get done. So I would expect an index sometime, you know, Friday or, you know, midday to early afternoon. But the nights are going to go long. There will be some exercise activities for the second swing shift for some aircraft generation and some aircraft acceptance up until about 2300 local. And that'll simulate roughly a 24-hour day. So core hours, it's going to be some long days, but hopefully we can get ourselves through it. Weather looks like it's going to be pretty nice. For accountability, if you know the term UCC, the Unit Control Center, that term is now changed to the CCO, the Control Center Operations. It's basically the same functions as before. So if you're a member of your unit, the UCC, you're now a member of the CCO. And that's how we're going to test accountability. So what I would expect is a wing-wide recall to start this thing off. And then you're probably going to get an ad hoc message to your personal email, your work email, your text message. Whatever you get first, please respond to it, because we're going to use that function as an accountability piece to see if we can get the right people in the right place at the right time. No changes to parking when you show up. Just park at your unit. There may be some events that happen throughout the week that drive us to a more centralized parking location, but we'll work that real time. And then we would like everybody to, you know, as we execute the personnel accountability, is to check in with your CCO. So show up to work. Don't go to the BX. Don't go immediately to work. Just check in with your CCO. Trip, you're going to push out some ICCD, some installation commander directives, is where we'll kind of push formal information throughout the exercise. And that's where you can go get those is from your CCOs when you check in. And then when you check out to go home for the day, just make sure you check out as well to update you on any information. We're playing at McIntyre, so there's not a whole lot of non-players and no play areas. Basically, the entire base is a play area that we own it on the 169 Fighter Wing side, so mainly on this side of base, minus the ACA. So there will be no exercise operations going on in the ACA complex. And then obviously anything to support the real-world ACA mission will come over top any exercise inputs that we have. And then any of the civilian employees, so the BX will still be open. The credit union will be open. The barbershop will not be open on Wednesday and Thursday because we're using the canteen as kind of a collection point for folks before they get on a fake airplane. And then if you exercise deploy, so if you get put to a chalk and then you leave on a fake airplane, you are now an exercise non-player because you have now been deployed, but that doesn't mean you get to go home for the rest of the exercise. You still got to come to work. A lot of those folks that are in the maintenance squadron or maintenance group are going to get deployed. They're going to go to get to work on getting the jets ready to go to the real world event, which is WESUP the following week. But everybody else is pretty much a player. Even if you're on a medical profile, guess what? You're on a medical profile at McIntyre, and we got you can be a door guard, you can be a runner, you can do a lot of things. So be part of the team. All right. For meals, the DFAC will be open the whole week, 11 to 1, but it'll only be takeout meals. So you'll go into the normal spot, go through the line, get your meal, and then there will be nowhere to sit down at the DFAC because it's our an alternate location for our PDF. We'll start the exercise at our normal FPCON and CPCON conditions, but just realize those things may change throughout the week. We may be enacting some additional FPCON and CPCON measures as we get presented the problem from the warlord. Obviously, safety trumps everything. So if there's, you know, something that's driving you that's an unsafe situation, then knock it off and keep everybody safe. The last thing I'll say is the network is going to get challenged. So if you find yourself on the network and not doing business related things, then I ask you to refrain from doing those things so that we can keep this fight going. That's it for kind of the admin pieces of the exercise. So I would expect that most of the squadron commanders are going to have a roll call first thing in the morning to kind of get everybody up to speed, and then it'll be quickly fights on after that.
Hi, thanks for all the work you and the team have put into designing this exercise. It's going to be new, it's going to be challenging, but it should be exciting because we're actually doing the mission that we're tasked to do. So everyone should be all in on it and show up ready to fight. Next, we're going to shift gears and talk about taking care of our most important resource, the airmen of our base. Master Sergeant Jory Middleton is the former dedicated crew chief for TAIL 549, 169th Fighter Wing flagship and pride of the fleet. And he's now serving as the flight line lead. He's also a founding member of the 3rd GO, You've probably seen emails for their raffles, lunch fundraisers, or participated in their dunk tank at Family Day. All of these programs support the Third Go, which is a volunteer group dedicated to taking care of airmen when in need. Jory, welcome to the show. Can you tell us what a Third Go is?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Trip. Third Go is essentially a for-us, by-us organization that we started back in 2018. Born amidst tragedy, losing my friend Zach Townsend back in January of 2018. It was a place for us to come together and decompress after work and talk about Zach, and it's grown so much since then.
So why is it called the Third Go?
I get asked that quite a bit, and I love explaining it. Traditionally in the fighter world, as you know, there's two goes in a day. First go in the morning, second go in the evening, and crew chiefs pour in so much time and devotion into both of those goes to make it successful. Third go is time for us to take that time and devotion and put it into ourselves. And that's where we got the name. It just made sense. So Third Go did start back in 2018. It wasn't just the passing of Zach. It was a rash of suicides and divorce and just hardship all around in the line shack where the crew chiefs work. And we needed something or somewhere to go and just decompress from all of that and be there for each other. That's where the Third Go came from. That's how it started. Basically a grassroots bar for crew chiefs. And after that started and we were there for each other, things started to settle down. We finally had fixed the issues in our shop. And one day we just thought to ourselves, how can we help others? How can we reach out to other shops like weapons or avionics? And we did, and we included them. And then we asked ourselves again, how can we keep on growing? How can we help more people? And that's when we started branching out into the wing and slowly recruiting members from LRS, from medical, several commanders across the base. We're known downtown. Like, we've grown up so much, and it's been such a ride and a blessing.
All right, Jory, so the Third Go started as the physical location, but y'all have expanded, and you do a lot of services for people around the base as well. For example, raffles. Can you, talk a little bit about how those raffles work and what they're helping?
Yeah, sure. We still maintain a physical location over at the hangar, and some of the things that we do to raise money for families and airmen in need, the smallest of which is raffles and barbecues and whatnot.
Okay. And you guys had the dunk tank out at the Family Day, mm-hmm. and that was a pretty popular event.
Yeah, that was a blast.
Get to go dunk their favorite or least favorite commander. How did that come about? How did that all transpire?
We started that 2 years ago. We were actually invited to Family Day to do something, and we had no idea what to do. And we convened with the board of the Third Go, brainstormed some ideas, and we settled on the dunk tank. And it ended up being a huge success. So we brought it back the next year. The first year we did the dunk tank, we raised over $3,000. And this year we raised over $4,000.
Wow. Okay. So you guys are doing a lot to help others. And a lot of people on base see that. A lot of people have tab patches that say Third Go, but I'm sure there's more that they could do to be involved. What can others do to help you guys out?
The biggest way an airman could help Third Go is simply join the Third Go. Join with the intention of volunteering. That's how you can help us help airmen across the base.
How do they do that?
Get in touch with myself or Nadine Caruthers over at the hangar. We'll be glad to sit down, talk to you, explain more of what the Third Go is, and we'll go from there.
All right. So we've talked about how people can come in to help out with the Third Go. What about people who are just in need of help as well? How do they reach out to you?
I find for myself the hardest thing to do when I do need help is asking for help. And it sounds so easy, but just approach any board member of the Third Go or any member for that matter. We'll gladly sit down and listen to you, be a shoulder for you to cry on, whatever you may need. If it's financial help, seek out a board member. We will convene and figure out how best we can help you.
Who are the board members?
Currently, the board members are myself, Nadine Caruthers, Ryan Cranford, Robert Toole, and Rachel French. Yeah, if you need to reach out to members of the Third Go, you can reach us via the global, or you can locate us. All five of us work in the main hangar on base. Poke around there. I'm sure you'll run into one of us.
Joy, we really appreciate it. The Third Go is great for helping take care of our airmen. It boosts morale amongst the maintainers and everyone else among base who is a member of it. And it's just a great organization. So we really appreciate you and everything all the Third Go do for us and everyone around the base. And keep up the good work, man.
Thank you, Chip. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for the October edition of Fox Chatter. Before November's edition, I ask you to go into the Air Force Connect app, go into the comment box, and provide some comments, questions. What do you want to hear? Because we're happy to tailor this to what the base population is interested in hearing. So any suggestions you have are welcome. So please send them. If you can't figure that out, then you can also just contact PA directly. As we go into the four-day weekend, take some time off, enjoy it with your families. Just realize we're coming in to Tuesday, 7 o'clock, ready to fight the war that we're presented. And we're going to give it 4 days of a complete effort, and then we'll wrap it up and celebrate after that. Thanks for everything you've been doing, and we'll see you next week.